From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of February 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my brother, Rob. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and what happened after the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates were released. That with John Newton, ag economist at the U of I. We'll check out the trade reaction with Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds. He'll be in for Wayne Nelson, who's out of the office today. He's normally at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, on Tuesdays. We'll also discover what's been happening in the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can purchase your tickets, by the way, for our All-Day Ag Outlook. That's the 10th day of March, just about 3 weeks away now. Buy your tickets at willag.org or dialing this number, 217-333-7300.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. A USDA report, WASDE afternoon. March contract at 388 in the corn pit, down 3.25. The May down 3.25 at $3.96 at a quarter. In July at 403.25, down 3 cents. December futures at 418.5, down 2.75 in the corn pit. From the soy complex, bean futures now 969, down 9.5 cents. The May futures at 974.25, down 10.75. In July at 979.75, down 11 cents for the day. November beans at 953.75, 10.75 lower. Bean meal on the afternoon at 326.90, down $2.70. And the bean oil at the bean oil for the day finished at 31.45, 56 cents lower. Wheat futures, Chicago soft red, 521.75, 8 cents lower. And the Kansas City at 554, down 9.5 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $159.52. They finished $1.07 higher in the February, April at $154, up 35 cents for the day. Feeder cattle finished up in the March at $202.35, down $1.27.5 for 100 pounds. In the April at $202.7.5, $1.20 lower. And the lean hogs for the day, up 40 cents at $61.67.5 in the February. April at $66.32.5, were down 42.5 cents. Hey, please do visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There, right now, you can purchase your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook. It's just $25 for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the 10th day of March.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check the outside markets as they're trading in Chicago at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $50.11, down $2.75 on the afternoon for a barrel of oil. Heating oil at $1.83.3. That's diesel fuel, down 3.9. And the gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $1.55.3, 2.5 cents lower. Natural gas for the day at $2.68.1, 8.4 higher. And ethanol futures are currently trading on their last tick, and settlement price at $1.46.3. That's 0.6 cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 134 points at 17,815. New York Gold at $1,235 or thereabouts, around $6.25 lower. In the U.S. dollar at 94.86 is up 0.278. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies. A high near 35 degrees on an east wind at about 7 miles an hour tonight. Cloudy, a low of 28. East winds again, turning to the southeast at 6 to 8. And then Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a high of 38 degrees. Remaining with the south-southwest wind at that point at 8 to 17. They'll turn to the west-northwest in the afternoon. A chance of flurries as we cool down into Wednesday evening with a 7 near 7 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low of 12 degrees. And then Thursday, a chance of flurries, partly sunny and a high of just 16. More on the weather forecast and the cool weather coming for this Arctic blast as we get to Don Day. Day weather at the bottom of this half hour.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Matt Bennett. He's at Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at what happened in Chicago and how the trade managed its way through this morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for filling in for Wayne Nelson, who's out of the office today.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the numbers as they came out from the USDA this morning. There were a couple of changes. Maybe you can take me through the corn numbers. The ethanol figure was bigger than many had expected.
Yeah, with the ethanol figure growing, you know, I was a little, I guess I'm not surprised because of where we've been recently and how strong we've been on our ethanol grind. 8 out of the last 10 weeks, we've been over 100 million bushels, so I could certainly see, based upon what we've seen lately, a little bit of a revision. But on the other hand, I think looking ahead, I guess my personal opinion is that I think it may end up having to come back the other way. A lot of it will depend upon, obviously, what happened to the crude oil and ethanol markets. But, you know, I think moving ahead, we might see that come back the other way. Just in my opinion, I could be dead wrong on it, but I sure feel like I've got a pretty good hunch that it's going to happen.
And did you find any of the other numbers of particular interest? Soybean ending stocks, for instance, went down, they went down to 385 million from 410.
Yeah, dropping 25 million bushels. I'm not terribly surprised there. You know, I thought with a little bit of a revision there with exports and whatnot that we could see some revision. I think people might look at it and say, hey, we went from 410 down to 385. How come we closed lower on the day? And I think, you know, there's a couple of different things going on. But, boy, here lately, almost every day, the corn and bean markets have followed pretty closely to what the crude oil market's done. So I think even with some friendly information today, not only with a little bit of outside lack of help, crude, but just simply looking at the world situation, whenever you look at soybeans, we're going to have more than adequate supply, even with Brazil's harvest, you know, maybe being revised downward just a little bit. A person must understand it's going to be the biggest crop to ever come out of the Southern Hemisphere. So, you know, that's on the heels of the biggest crop we ever harvested out of the U.S. So you throw all these things together on top of what's perceived to be the largest acreage ever planted on soybeans, and, you know, it's pretty tough to get super friendly at the market.
I'm sorry, tell me just a bit more about those numbers as you look forward to that acreage report and what you think might come out in the prospective plantings number. That's at the end of March. How many acres? The trade, I think, is around 88 million for soybeans. Can we really get that big?
Yeah, I think that there's a possibility that you could. You know, I think whenever you look in certain areas, you know, like in the Delta, a lot of guys have been talking about increased soybean plantings. And then, you know, a lot of guys that have been heavy corn on corn in the past few years have slowly started to maybe back away from that just a little bit. You know, we talked about this last Saturday up at Joliet. I think whenever you look at what the input prices are at, to me, I'm not super concerned with what the bean to corn ratio is. I think a lot of guys are very concerned about profitability, plant corn at $4 or under. And, you know, whenever you look at the crop insurance price, we're going to be, it appears, a good 50 cents lower than last year, the way things are going right now for corn. It really makes it tough on guys. And so I do think bean plantings could increase significantly. I would tend to think that this will be our first good shot in my lifetime, I guess, the bean planting being above corn planting. So I think that that's a definite possibility due to profitability of both corn and bean.
I believe this would be the second year in a row for some pretty large increases in acreage for soybeans. We'd have to be up, what, about 5% or something along those lines to be at 88 million.
Yeah, it would have to go up significantly. You know, we'd be up almost 5 million acres, which obviously would be around that 5% or a little bit more. So, you know, I think it would be a pretty big deal to to plant that much more beans. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of areas that I've talked to guys that are in the seed sales business that, you know, their bean sales have been up dramatically and corn sales have been stagnant slower. I think that's a pretty resounding theme across many parts of the Corn Belt, maybe not everywhere, but certainly about everywhere that I've talked to guys.
Hey, by the way, I remember, I think, from our conversation in Joliet on Saturday morning, you are either there or headed there or will be soon at the Louisville Machinery Show. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Louisville. I'll be on the U.S. Farm Report stage there on Thursday, and then later that day be able to make a presentation with Channel T Company, and then be on AgriTalk there on Friday. So I'm going to have several different things to do, but looking forward to being at Louisville for sure.
Well, have fun. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He is with Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, and if you can catch up with him, you can do that there in Louisville at the National Machinery Show that happens this week, and he'll be around on Thursday. So make sure you, if you're in the area, you can check up with what Matt is up to. He is with Channel Seeds and will be on many shows, a lot of farm broadcasters dealing with Matt these days. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Radio and comes to you from WILL AM 580 on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. While you're there, you should check out a whole bunch of things on our website, including the USDA reports, where you can find all of today's numbers and comparisons, by the way, to the trade estimates and the previous month from USDA. Really good set of numbers there in the USDA reports. You can sign up for our weekend newsletter there. Dave Dickey writes that one, and it's a really good one. If you had it this morning, you had the numbers in hand already. You can also pick up our at Commodity Week and at David A. Dickey Twitter feeds, and you'll find, most importantly, a way to buy your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook. That's the 10th day of March. It's only about 3 weeks away now. 217-333-7300. If you want to dial in right now to purchase your tickets, again, it's 217-333-7300. Great day on tap, including more than a dozen of our analysts. Sue Martin will be there to talk about the marketplace, along with Murray Wise on land values, and Chris Hurt to discuss the agricultural livestock sector and how its usage may impact what happens in the commodity markets, all on the 10th day of March at just $25, including the Beef House Lunch. 217-333-7300, or order your tickets online at willag.com. And don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be at the Knox Agri Center starting at 6:30 p.m. This one's open and free to everybody. A few light hors d'oeuvres, cookies and such, if you want to come, that's fine. But more importantly for that one, we'll have along with us Kurt Kimmel, Chip Nellinger, and Bill Mayer to talk about today's reports, what happens going forward, decisions as is related to crop insurance and the farm bill. The folks at Strategic Farm Marketing will take you through some of that. That's open and free to everybody tomorrow night at 6:30 in Galesburg at the Knox Agri Center. I really hope to see you there. All the details to that one on our website as well at willag.org. Just look in the calendar section. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. John Newton, ag economist at the U of I, joins us now to take up this morning's world agricultural supply and demand estimates. John, some interesting numbers this morning, especially soybeans as they were released. Export figures were up, what, some 20 million bushels?
That's right. I was blown away by the increase in the soybean export projections from the USDA WASDE's report. The January report had exports at 1770 million bushels, and they bumped them up 20 million bushels in the February report to 1790. I think part of that's driven by the record pace of soybean exports that we've seen so far this marketing year, but a 20 million bushel increase on top of bushel increases we've seen throughout the marketing year already. This is going to be a record soybean export.
It's a really strong consumption pace. 3.3 billion bushel crop. Of course, they don't change that for the WASDE figures in February, but they do change some other things, especially on consumption. So not only did the export figure increase, but so did the crush.
Yeah, the crush jumped up 15 million bushels from the January report to 1795. So when you combine the crush change and the export change, we're looking at consumption jumping by 35 million bushels of soybean. Now, the supply side did change a little bit. We jumped imports up by 10 million bushels as well. So the net effect is a 25 million bushel decrease in ending stocks from 410 to 385.
So 385 million bushels is now the new ending stocks for the old crop soybeans. When you begin to look forward and think about new crop, and we've talked about this a lot on the radio station, what kind of numbers do you see? What are you working with in your own supply and demand tables?
On the soybean side, I'm probably a little bit more conservative than the market is at this point. I have us about 3 million acres above last year's soybean planted acres to around 85 million acres of soybean. You pencil in a trend yield, and I'm looking at ending stocks next year around 400 million bushels of soybean, well below the market's expectations.
Yeah, so the market, of course, is at 88, roughly speaking. Those were the Informa numbers earlier in the year. Most everybody else in that range, but with a carryout that's 600 or 700 million bushels strong by the time we get to the fall of 2016, your numbers aren't nearly so big. Why are you conservative on this? What is it about planting soybeans that you don't think farmers will find attractive this year, or maybe about planting corn that they will find attractive? Because the acreage battle that most are thinking about that would raise that to 88 million is, roughly speaking, that producers simply find the cost of production for corn too high.
Well, if we lose some corn acres, and many people have us losing 2 to 3 million corn acres, I have us only losing about a half a million corn acres. So, you know, the competition between corn and soybean for acres, that's my primary difference, is I don't have as many acres leaving corn for the next marketing year as others may.
Tell me about your supply and demand figures then for corn.
Well, I have us losing some acres of corn and coming back again to a trend yield of about 162 bushels an acre corn. That's about 9 bushels an acre below the 2013-14 marketing year estimate of 171. So I have the production of corn lower next year than what we had this current year. And then I guess on the consumption side, I don't change the consumption numbers too much. So I actually have us closing out next year's ending stocks about 500 million bushels below where we are projected to end this year.
So just as a reminder, USDA has last year's crop for corn at 14.216 billion bushels. You're putting next year's at 13.352 billion in total. And you've got some interesting numbers by the time we get to the end of the year that you think, the average price will be much higher than this year's average price.
Yeah, and I think the market's really showing that. The market has shown an upward curve on corn prices going into next year. And I think, you know, fewer corn acres and a lower yield than what we had last year should help to drive that home, as well as a pretty high level of consumption. Now, see, corn consumption has plateaued in recent years, but it remains at a very high level relative to what we've seen, you know, prior to the RFS era.
We thank you for taking the time with us, and we look forward to many more conversations with you.
You got it.
That, of course, is John Newton. Oh, by the way, John, they can follow me at Commodity Week on the Twitter feed and find that on our willag.org website at the moment. We'll take that off in the next, I don't know, 24 hours or so. But they can follow you on Twitter, too.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at NEW10, that's New10, underscore Ag Econ.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat. Newton, your last name, it's New, NEW10, Newton, underscore Ag Econ, New10, underscore Ag Econ. Thanks, John, for taking the time with us. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. let's turn our attention now to the outside markets. We'll talk specifically about crude oil and agricultural energies. On the phone line is Steve Platt. He's a senior account executive at Archer Financial Services in Chicago. Thanks, Steve, for joining us. Can you take me through crude oil the last, I don't know, month or so? Because this has been a pretty exciting market. It's had a really nice rally.
Well, we've been weakening this market considerably here up until about over a week ago. And we have started to, I think, start to tip the scales in terms of at least making it more neutral than a bearish market. We had a lot of factors working against this market, and you finally are starting to see the low prices have an impact on the production side and also, I think, on the consumption side. Both gasoline demand has increased. We also are seeing certain things in terms of rig counts, which have been pretty impressive in terms of the sizable declines that we've seen. Now, that won't translate into any sharp cuts in production, but it is interesting to note that with respect to shale or tight oil, the rate of decline is very sharp in the second year after a production, after a well goes into production. That suggests that as we move into 2016, 2017, and as demand maybe comes back, you could start to see a deficit situation start to develop. So, in essence, I think we've made a pretty significant bottom at this 43.5 area low that we probably could start to see the market move into a consolidative phase. Even though we have broken today, the market did rally off that low by as much as $10. And it wouldn't surprise me that we see maybe a 45, 46 area as a low here on the downside. And the market maybe tried to get up toward that $56 area in terms of a trading range.
What do you suppose is the next big fundamental hurdle? Is it the next meeting of OPEC? I think that may take place later in the spring. I don't quite recall what month April sticks in my mind.
Well,
but I have a better idea.
The big thing it has been is these stock levels. In light of the EIA coming out today that they think the inventory levels are going to reach record high levels by mid-year in OECD countries, that will probably, excuse me, will probably start to, we need to start to see the pace of increases in U.S. inventories start to slow down. That is a key factor that is going to inhibit this market for the near term.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He is in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you bought your tickets for All-Day Outlook? That's Tuesday, March the 10th, the first Tuesday of the month. You can do it now if you want at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. Either way, we hope to see you at our granddaddy of events in March on the 10th day. That's the first Tuesday of the month. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about the ag weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Cream Cheese Brownie Day. The first cream cheese in the U.S. is generally believed to have been produced by William Lawrence in New York in 1872. But references to cream cheese date back to at least 1754 in England and even earlier, 1651 in France. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, Victor Henson was born. An oceanographer, he coined the term plankton, Greek for wanderer or drifter, for the tiny organisms found in water. practically all animal life in the sea is ultimately dependent on plankton. In 1846, Ira Remsen was born. He was an American chemist and the co-discoverer of saccharin, the artificial sweetener. He accidentally discovered its taste while eating dinner rolls. After a long day at the lab, he noted the rolls at first tasted sweet and then bitter. Remsen's wife tasted nothing strange, leading Remsen to lick his fingers and discover the bitter taste of chemicals he had been working with, and saccharin was born. And in 1944, Frances Moore Lapp was born. She was the author of the best-selling Diet for a Small Planet, which indirectly encouraged a vegetarian diet by demonstrating that raising animals for food was an inefficient use of resources. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take up the weather forecast. And kind of an ugly forecast for the East Coast today, and then really cold and ugly and blustery for the Midwest by the time we get to the weekend. What kinds of numbers do you see?
Well, yeah, I think you summed it up pretty good there with those statements. Not real nice. We're going to see, of course, as you mentioned, more just incredibly harsh winter weather for the Northeast United States. Beginning late this week, this weekend, and in the next week, we're going to see the development of some of the really cold air that's been locked up over the Northeast and eastern areas of Canada. Want to migrate a little bit more to the west. And so what's going to be happening is we're going to be getting very cold. There's going to be some snow opportunities as clippers come south out of Canada. But for folks in the northern plain states, then stretching back into the northern Rockies, the cold air next week will expand westward, covering a good portion of the United States, even reaching down into some of the far southern areas.
How cold will the temperatures be?
Well, I think there's a very good possibility of at least single-digit temperatures, maybe even some sub-zero temperatures, especially in the northeast Corn Belt this weekend. Boy, do I see some really cold temperatures, possibly going sub-zero in Ohio, Michigan, maybe eastern areas of Indiana.
The only good news is we're in the middle of February, so eventually it has to get warmer in sooner rather than later. Speaking of warmer, turn your attention to South America. Tell me about growing conditions, please.
Well, right now, the prospects for precipitation are okay. It's been a little bit drier here over the last week or two in Brazil and Argentina. They're looking at what I would call a pretty average forecast. Rain chances. And when you look at temperatures in South America here over the next week, looking pretty good. Argentina probably the warmer and the drier of the two.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. A couple of things to keep in mind. You can always visit our website at WILLAG.org and listen to any of our agricultural programming there, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, posted not long after it airs on our radio stations, normally within about 15 minutes. And the times listed are the times we try to post to the website. While you're there, you'll find a way to purchase your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook. You can do it right now if you want to. In one of two ways, dial this number, 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Or just go online to willag.org and click Purchase Tickets Now. You can buy them online. They're just $25 each for the All-Day Ag Outlook. We'll have more than a dozen analysts there, including all of our regular on-air analysts. analyst and Sue Martin, along with Chris Hurt, a Purdue University livestock extension specialist and ag economist, as well as Murray Wise, who will take up land values. That's all for just $25, the 10th day of March. It's the first Tuesday of the month. Great timing for the next WASDE report. We hope to have you there in Covington.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.